take a certain path, if we follow a certain course of living, then we don't have anything to worry about. We have a sure foundation when the storms of life come. And Jesus related that idea when he told the parable that he did, recorded in Matthew chapter 7. Beginning in verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." So here Jesus explains in a way that people can easily understand that there are going to be things that we face in life that we can be prepared for if, really and only if, we take heed to what Jesus says. His words are recorded for us. We have the new covenant given, but all Scripture, as Paul told Timothy, is from God and is profitable for us in many different ways to benefit us so that we can have all that we need spiritually. And here, as he explains that the Word of God is intended to convey a message to us, but the message is not going to do any of us any good if we just hear the message. We might even be convinced of the message, but until we follow the message and implement the teachings of Christ into our lives and become obedient practitioners of the truth, then we don't have the benefit and we don't have the stability. And what we do have is a certainty of losing our souls. That's what he's saying. Because the description that he gives and the words that follow is very clear in that regard. Whoever hears these sayings and he puts them into practice, he does them, he says, you're going to be like a very wise man. So there's wisdom, he points out, in listening to what Jesus says and following his teachings. And what we know from the Scriptures is that it's very clear over and over again that the teachings of Jesus, though they can be understood, and though they might be clear, it's another thing to be willing to put them into practice. Because there were various people that we see in the Scriptures that knew the truth, but to actually do what is right is another matter, because it's not the easy way. The easy way is to do what everybody else does, or the easy way is to do what we feel good about doing. The easy way is to not do those things that cause us to be so different from the world and have to embrace those choices that make life harder for us here and now. Oftentimes what we like, what we prefer is we look at the things around us and we choose those things instead of laying our eyes upon the eternal things that are much more beneficial and lasting in their nature, but which involve more difficulty. They're harder. But Jesus says, when you hear and you do what I say, you're like this wise man who constructs his house on a solid foundation. There's the rain and the floods and the winds that he mentions here. So we see the picture of something that moves in upon this house, all these forces of nature that have power to destroy. But in fact, in this case, since the house has a solid foundation, it's not destroyed when the storm comes. So the analogy is, and what we understand, when all the hardships of life come to one who has built his life upon his belief in God's Word and his assurance and his conviction that what that book says is true, it's from God, its promises are certain, we can live by them and have no doubt whatsoever that all that is spoken will come to pass in terms of the promises that are made. And we live that way. Therefore, no matter what happens in life. So the analogy shows us that storms are certain to come. And furthermore, they will be difficult. You don't have a light breeze blowing here. You have strong winds that have come. You have the rain that is mentioned here that descends heavily on it. And then because of all the rain, there's flooding that occurs. And we know the power of water. If you've seen, maybe in your own experience, you've had floods hit your house and you've seen the damage done. But, you know, I've seen on the news entire houses just being moved by water. They have been taken off their, you know, pier and beam foundation, and they're moving on. So if you don't have a solid foundation, he says, if we don't have Christ and our faith in him as our foundation and our trust in his word as our foundation, then we'll certainly be moved when the hardships of life come. Because God's word gives us answers to the questions that often pose those difficulties. We, any of you who tuned into the debate that some of us were here watching last night, there are all kinds of things that unbelievers will use as a means to shake the foundation of those who trust in God and his word. But with searching and with time and with effort, we can have our foundation built and it will not be moved. And that assurance and that faith that we can have will see us through all of the efforts that some even deliberately make to destroy our faith. But apart from that, there's just things that happen in life naturally that can be very hard. And yet, this is the way to have success. You hear and you put into practice the things that are taught by Jesus Christ. But the contrast is made with the one who doesn't put into practice the Lord's word. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Keep in mind that the book of Matthew is written to this group of people who should have embraced Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, the Jewish people. So you're looking at people who heard what Jesus was saying, but the majority of the Jews did not put into practice what he taught. They didn't take that step and believe on him to the point of having a living faith, which compels a person then to do what Jesus has taught. Some of them believed, and yet they would not confess him among the religious leaders, and so their fall would be great. The tragedy is that those who rejected Jesus during this time were like those who rejected God's word in centuries before. It was the history of God's people. And eventually, in AD 70, the sin of all of the Jews who had rejected God's will and eventually rejected his son would fall down upon them with the great destruction that came and was suffered by those people at that time. For us, we're reminded of the fact that day by day, we need to seek out God's will. We believe that this is from God. And yet there's the key point concerning putting it into practice, living according to the truth that is set forth for us here. And when we do, in fact, begin to fulfill God's will in our lives, when we are not like Martha, distracted by all of the different cares that we can easily allow to distract us in life, and instead we focus on that which is needed, the good thing, the will of God for us, then we will be on a path and reach a destination that is like nothing else man has ever known, because, in fact, what we have in store for us is a part of things that remain a mystery. Some mysteries have been made known. Some are yet to be revealed. And what is in store for us is simply described in the pages of God's Word with terms that bring to our minds pictures of majesty, pictures of wealth or beauty and riches, but also, of course, eternal life, happiness, joy, and the removal of all that is sad and painful and grievous. That's our future if we heed the words of Christ, which we do when we spend time on a daily basis, like the righteous man of Psalm 1, meditating upon the word day and night. And then we put into practice his will, striving, in fact, to be faithful keepers of the will of God. That's every one of us. That's not just the leaders of our congregation, but that's us individually as members of the body of Christ, seeing our important place and what is involved in making sure that we can live up to our responsibilities. As one tonight who is made in the image of God, do you have the cleansing that comes from God, the sins that you have been guilty of washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ? If you have not, then God's plan is simply stated in the New Testament involving five things that we so often repeat because, again, this is what God reveals. It's not merely a mental acknowledgement that Jesus is God's Son, but we do believe, but we also are compelled to respond in faith, which means we turn away from a life of sin. We say, I'm going to submit to God's way from this day forward and live according to His will. Turn my back on sin. In fact, count myself as dead to sin. And then there is confession of faith. We acknowledge with the lips that we believe Christ to be the Son of God, and the immersion in water, symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sins washed away, cleansed forevermore. You might need to study further about Christ and His church, and we'd be happy to do that with you as well. But as Christians tonight, where do you stand in terms of your walk with God? Have you been heeding? Most likely so. You've been listening to the words of Christ. What about putting those things into practice? Make sure that each day you seek to grow in that and understand all that Christ requires of us as His people. If you need to come to Him tonight, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.